In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Two men go up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, and one a tax collector. The Pharisee is all about the idea that you earn your salvation by doing the right thing, by working your way into heaven. The tax collector is about collecting taxes. And everybody knows that tax collectors are the most dishonest people who charge extra and pocket the difference. So in this parable, you've got the pillar and the dregs of society going to the temple to pray. The Pharisee's prayer is almost comical because it is just so bad. I mean, he prays a prayer of thanks to God, but he doesn't thank God for what God has done. He thanks God for what he himself has done. He prays, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." And if he would write a song about it, the title would easily be, "Isn't God Lucky I Love Him So Much?" Guard your hearts so that his sins do not become yours. He prays, "I thank you that I am not like other men." That's the prayer of old Adam, our sinful nature. And even if you don't pray it, you think it, because everyone is tempted to compare themselves to others. The truth is that the Pharisee and you are just like everybody else in this respect. As long as you've got sinful flesh, you want to justify yourself. You don't have a margin against God and his holiness, but humanity gives you a sliding scale. If you get caught doing something wrong, the first thing you want to do is explain why isn't wrong when you do it, because you are you. You want to argue before God that you deserve his respect because you are not like everybody else, because you're better than them. You might be a sinner, but at least you are trying, even though you've got it worse than others. Or you might acknowledge your sin, but you're convinced that because you are better than everybody else, you can indulge in those sins without them harming your soul. When other people sin, it's evil. But when you sin, well, you can't make an omelet without breaking a few commandments. That's the prayer of our sinful nature. "Thanks be to you, O Lord, that I'm so special, that unlike everybody else, my sin doesn't count against me." And I don't need a crystal ball to know that's in your heart. I just need to know that you are like me. Because you are like me and the Pharisee who prays, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men." The tax collector's prayer is far different. He stands at a distance with his head bowed and he prays, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Actually, his prayer is better than that. For one thing, he doesn't call himself a sinner like we have translated in our Bible. He calls himself the sinner. The tax collector doesn't consider himself to be one among many. It doesn't matter if everybody else is sinful or not. What matters is his confession is that he is sinful and that he needs mercy. See, when you stand before God, it's between you and God. You don't have the privilege of dragging other sinners into it. It doesn't matter what your neighbor has done. He didn't create sinful anger in you, but only stir up the sinful anger that was already there. Likewise, a man cannot blame a woman's immodesty for creating sinful lust in his heart because it was already there, as the vanity was in hers that made her dress that way. And a woman cannot blame another for her jealousy because it already dwells in her heart too. So learn from this tax collector's prayer. Before God, it's just you and God. It doesn't matter why you did that particular sin right then. What matters is that you are sinful. But there is better news in the tax collector's prayer. He prays, God be merciful to me. And that's not a wrong translation, but he only scratched the surface. What the tax collector literally prays is, God be propitiated toward me. God be propitiated toward me. And we don't use the word propitiation very much in our daily conversation, but when propitiation is mentioned in Scripture, it's about making satisfaction. It's about atonement. It's about sacrifice. So when the tax collector prays, God be propitiated toward me, we see the faith that he has. He doesn't say, how can we make amends? No, he cannot make amends. He is the sinner, remember? He also doesn't say, can we just overlook my sin and pretend it isn't there? No. He acknowledges that his sin must be propitiated. It must be atoned for, which is remarkable. But what's even more remarkable is that he asks God to do the work of propitiating. That's a bold request for a sinner who won't even take his eyes off the ground. Imagine driving and crashing into the back of the car in front of you because you were not paying attention, then saying to the other driver, it's totally my fault. Would you please pay for the repairs and the medical bills? That's the boldness of the tax collector. He prays, God, I am the sinner, and I'm counting on you to atone for my sin. What do we call this arrogance? We call it faith. We call it faith. This tax collector, the sinner, makes this outrageous request only because he trusts that God is merciful. He trusts that God will do what is necessary to atone for his sin. Most people gather to pray at the temple at the time of the morning and evening offerings. Imagine then that the Pharisee and the tax collector arrive with the crowds at the temple for offering of a lamb and an incense. The lamb is sacrificed, its blood is shed, and its body is placed on the altar to the Lord. The lamb points to the promised Messiah, to the Christ who will come and offer himself for the sins of the world. Seeing that lamb on the altar, the Pharisee's prayer actually is, God, I thank you that I am not like other men who need this sacrifice because my sins don't need atonement. If his prayer wasn't offensive enough, it's far worse now. Now, seeing the lamb sacrifice, the tax collector prays, God, as this lamb is sacrificed this day, so have mercy on me because the Messiah's blood will shed and his body will be offered in my place. There is no better Christian confession than that. There is no better Christian confession than that. And that's only part of our gospel reading, of course. Next thing you know, people are bothering Jesus with babies. Now, they were bringing infants to Jesus that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuke them as they apparently see Jesus to be all about grown-ups. However, Jesus disagrees and says, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Think for a moment of a newborn nursing infant. What does he do when he gets hungry? He cries. And what does his mother do? She offers him milk. And what does the baby do? He latches and he feeds. He doesn't negotiate. He doesn't question his mother motives. He doesn't wonder if mom is going to make him mow the lawn or clean up his room later on. No. He just look at the whole sequence. The baby voices his hunger, and he receives the milk that satisfies the need. We could even say that the baby confesses his hunger by his cries, and he receives the gift that takes the need away. Like the baby voicing his need and receiving his mother's milk, the Christian voices his need for forgiveness and receives the grace of God. No strings attached, no works required. The Lord simply gives the forgiveness he conquered by his suffering and death on the cross. And when you receive his forgiveness, it's a package deal. You receive the kingdom of God. Dear friends, when it comes to living as a sanctified Christian, by all means, please, grow up. Be as mature in the faith as you possibly can. Continue to hear and meditate upon these words so that your faith is grown up and strengthened against whatever spiritual attack comes your way. You need to be mature. To think that you don't need a constant diet of God's word and grace isn't childish, but foolish. So please, grow up. But when it comes to salvation and forgiveness, be a baby. Be a baby. Confess your sin, crying out to the Lord, and telling him of your need and your helplessness. And rejoice that Christ forgives you freely and that he continues to make sure that his bride, the church, feeds you with the pure spiritual milk of his word. be a baby. For of such is the kingdom of God. For of such is the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.